Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8, and I'll begin reading at verse 16. Now, this morning you can see in your bulletins there is an insert, and on one side of the insert is an outline of this morning's message, and on the opposite side is the scripture reading printed there from Luke chapter 8. The Bible that is in your pew is not the same version I'll be reading from, the English Standard Version. You can follow along in the same version on the outline, in the back of the outline in your bulletins. We're going to begin reading at verse 16 this morning, having preached the first 15 verses last Sunday, but we're going to pick up at verse 16 and we'll be referring to those verses in the sermon, the earlier verses in the sermon. Luke 8, beginning at verse 16, let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's word. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him. They could not reach him because of the crowd, and he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." That's the reading of God's word this morning from Luke chapter 8. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, in last week's sermon, we pointed out that in Luke chapter 8, we have a new stage in God's revelation about the kingdom that Jesus has come to bring. For up to this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has gone first to the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, preaching to them in the synagogues about the kingdom of God that has come. And he has found that they are not very interested in the kingdom of God that he has come to bring. Because for the Jewish leaders of the Old Testament kingdom of God, their focus is outward and visible of this earth. In the first part of the gospel, we have read again and again of their reaction to Jesus, often in a very negative way, a reaction to his preaching and his teaching about the kingdom of God, a reaction to their understanding of what sin is, for they are focused on their own righteousness, their own keeping of the law, and they have no need for the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have found that they are only interested in their Jerusalem temple for the forgiveness of sins. And so when Jesus forgives the sins of the paralytic, the forgiveness of sins that we brought about through his death and resurrection, they're not interested in hearing about that at all. And we found that they are only interested in the restoration of an earthly nation of Israel, not the kingdom of God from heaven that Jesus has come to bring. So in chapter 8, Jesus now goes to the crowds, the Jew and Gentile crowds. He's been to the synagogues, he's spoken to the Jewish leaders, and now he turns his attention in chapter 8 to the crowds. And we begin to see that he speaks in parables. And we saw last week that he explained to the disciples why he speaks in parables. And he has two purposes in mind. One, that in a parable, he is revealing something about the kingdom of God. And a second purpose is that in a parable, Jesus is veiling what is to be revealed. Well, in the parable that follows the parable of the sower, the parable of the lamp on a stand, Jesus expands further on that second purpose of parables. A parable, Jesus has said, is about a veiling, about something about the kingdom that is veiled for some, not fully revealed. And some might begin to think, well, does that mean that Jesus is purposely keeping something about the gospel or something about the kingdom of God from people? Why doesn't Jesus just make it absolutely clear to everybody? Why does he tell a parable? And why does he tell us that what is revealed about the kingdom then in a parable is veiled? Well, to make sure that the disciples would understand and that you would understand, Jesus follows the parable of the sower with the parable of the lamp on the stand. And in this parable, he goes on to explain by what he means by veiled. It's not just an explanation for those who outrightly reject the gospel, but his explanation in this parable of the lamp on the stand is also Jesus' challenge for his disciples and for the people in his church. Because the problem is not about the openness of the gospel revelation. That is clear, that is proclaimed. The problem is the human heart. Now, the first thing we see about our text this morning is that expansion on what Jesus has already said. And it is in contrast to the Jews. The Jews have an external focus concerning the kingdom of God, but Jesus is explaining how the kingdom of heaven is something that is internal within a heart. Now, if you look at our text this morning and recognize how it is tied together with the parable of the sower, you will see a common theme throughout. And that common theme throughout is hearing. Hearing the word. And ultimately, in our text, the word of Jesus. We see in verse 8, following the parable of the sower that Jesus tells, he tells the crowd at the end of that verse, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He is calling to the crowd to hear the word of God, that if you have ears to hear the word of God, he's calling them to hear it. We also see in verse 18 that as he concludes the second parable, he states in verse 18, "Take care then how you hear." Again, calling attention to how the parable is heard among the listeners. And then verse 21, again you see it. "But he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" You see, each section is tied together by a common theme, that the kingdom of God has come, and that kingdom of God that Jesus has come to bring comes by hearing. The focus of the Jews was of power, of a Messiah that would lead armies against Rome, reestablish Jerusalem and the temple as the center of the world. Their focus was outward, and now Jesus, by way of these parables to the crowd, is explaining that the kingdom comes by hearing. It comes by understanding that God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, down to earth to bring the kingdom of heaven. And by way of his death and resurrection on the cross, to pay for the sins of his people and to be resurrected from the grave. And the primary way that the kingdom of God comes to a person is by way of the preaching and the teaching of God's word. So the gospel is proclaimed as Jesus is proclaiming it. People are drawn to it by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit softens the heart of the listener. They repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they become part of the kingdom of God. This is a kingdom that is not external by power, but internally by the Holy Spirit's power that changes a heart. In other words, this kingdom may not be visible on earth in terms of a temple or a visible nation, but it will become visible when people hear the gospel, repent and turn from their sins, and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is visible in the way that their life is changed. It is visible in the way that they now come to desire and to know Christ and the Word of God and become members of His church. And so keep in mind this morning, as we look at this common theme of hearing, how important this is. This is the listening to the Word of God about eternity. It is the difference whether you go to heaven or hell. It depends on what you hear concerning the kingdom and if your heart is softened to hear what is proclaimed. But if you can only know the kingdom by hearing, if it's that important and that crucial, if it's about matters of eternity for every person that hears and listens, how is it then that God would prevent people from hearing? What does he mean in verse 10, where he spoke to the disciples saying, when they wanted to know more, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Why is it then that he speaks in parables? Why not just make it absolutely clear? Well, you see, the fault is not in the gospel that's proclaimed or in the message of the kingdom of heaven. The fault is found in the hearts of the people. And so, following the parable of the sower, Jesus tells the parable of the lamp on the stand, where he reveals something about the kingdom of God. And what is it that's revealed? Let's look at verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Now, you remember that in Jesus' day, a lamp was lit with a flame. They didn't have light bulbs in those days. And the lamp would be used to light up a dark room. If you want people to see the light, and to enter into that dark room, you don't light a lamp, Jesus said, and put it under a jar so the light is diminished. You don't put it under a bed so the light is diminished. But you put that light on a stand so it lights up the entire room. And as he concludes, so those who may see the light may enter and see it. Jesus is saying that's what the kingdom of God is like. That's what the gospel that Jesus has come to fulfill and proclaim is like. He has come down from heaven into a dark and sinful world, and he is proclaiming the way of salvation all the way to the cross. He has gone first to the Jews. He has spoken to them out in the open, and now he is going to the crowds, and the crowds are following, and they hear the parable just like everybody else. Out in the open. There is nothing about the gospel that Jesus is keeping from others. He isn't choosing in terms of who is hearing it and who is not hearing it. He is preaching it to the crowds. It is visible to all. It is like a lamp on a stand for all to see, not hidden from anyone. And that is why he proclaims the gospel on a stand for all to see and to hear. But in verse 17, he explains what he means by, in that verse, he uses the vocabulary hidden. What does he mean by that? Look at verse 17. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. You understand what Jesus is saying. Now, if you're like me, you've been seeing this verse, Luke 8:17, quoted over and over again in recent days. As they were preparing to release the John F. Kennedy files, the secret documents that nobody had ever seen, there were all kinds of people quoting this verse, using it in the context of, look, if things were done wrong, or if things have been never revealed, the secret things are now going to be revealed. It's found in the Bible. The verse is used by many in the context of governments and politicians that somehow keep things in secret, and they quote this verse to say that someday in this world, the secrets will come to light. And yes, sometimes that's true, isn't it? But sometimes, as we know from history, that is not always true in this world. But you see, that's not what verse 17 is talking about and what Jesus means by the verse as he follows the parable on the light and the stand. What Jesus is pointing out in verse 17 is he is reminding us that the kingdom of God is coming in two stages. In the first stage, he is coming to earth, Jesus Christ, God's Son, to bring about the salvation of God. He's come to die on the cross, to pay for the sins of his people, to rise from the dead, to bring about the forgiveness of sins and entrance into the kingdom of God, and he proclaims it to all who will listen like a lamp on a stand. But not everybody, as he told us in the parable of the sower, is going to listen to the word and believe that word, because the kingdom of God is a mystery to some until he comes again. And so in verse 17, he is reminding us as well of the second coming. In this verse, he's not speaking, as some have used it, as if somehow on earth, eventually the secrets will be revealed. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not true. But look what it's saying about the second coming of Christ. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret or mysterious. I don't like the translation secret. There is nothing mysterious that will not be known and come to light. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, at his second coming, when the Lord returns from heaven on the final day of the Lord, everything will be made known. There will be no mystery in terms of who he is as the Son of God and the Savior who has come to save his people and bring salvation. He will come from heaven on the clouds of heaven, and all the believers who know him and believe in him will see him and be saved and rejoice with eternal life. But all those who have resisted him, all those with hard hearts, all those who have not embraced or believed the gospel and have denied about him and his coming will see that what the Bible has said, told us, is absolutely true. They will see and know clearly on that day who he is, that he is the Son of God. They will see and not doubt for any moment the truth of what the scripture says concerning God and the salvation of Christ and eternal life and eternal judgment. And so Jesus is pointing that out in verse 17. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. Someday everybody will know. There'll be no doubt. Nor is anything secret that will not be made known and fully come to light. And that's why he goes on in verse 18 to say, take care then how you hear. And notice how carefully he's worded that. First, he said to the crowd, he who has ears to hear, let him hear in verse 8. But now look how he introduces the hearing. Take care how you hear. For no one who has will more, for the one who has, for to the one who has, more will be given. What is Jesus speaking about here? Jesus is putting an emphasis on the fact about how important it is for the people of God to hear the preaching of the word. You know how sometimes wives will say of their husbands, there are two kinds of listenings for my husband. Sometimes they're talking to their husband and they're telling him about something, and they know that the words they're saying are being heard, But he's not really listening diligently. Instead, he's thinking or talking about something else. And then there is a second kind of listening that wives know. A listening when a wife knows that her husband not only hears the words, but she has his attention. She can tell that she is being heard in what she's saying, and what she's saying is important to him, because he gives those words, she says, careful attention and listening. It's the same thing when you come to church. According to Jesus in this verse, your coming to church and the hearing of the word of God is the most important thing that you do in your life all week long. This is the word of God through the Savior speaking to you. And in your heart, you are saying, I need to hear this. I need to pay attention. I need to listen, because this is about eternal things that is being proclaimed from the pulpit of God's church. And when you listen to the word read and proclaimed, and it goes into your heart, just as Jesus described in the parable of the sower, verse 15, this is the kind of response of a softened heart. You hold it fast, it says in verse 15, in an honest and good heart. That's careful listening and attention to detail. And bearing fruit with patience. That's the kind of hearing that Jesus is describing. A hearing of the word that means you may not always get everything you want or every blessing you ask for, but you bear that fruit with patience by going through the struggles and the challenges of life and the word of God as it's proclaimed, as you read it, as you hear it proclaimed. The spiritual blessings come upon you. That's why Jesus describes it at the end of this parable. Take care how you hear, because the more you hear, the more will be given. See how he goes on in that verse? To the one who has, more will be given. What does that mean? Sometimes people think of the Christian life as if things just will come their way, that if they're a believer, and they pray for something, or if they're a faithful believer in their church attendance or whatever it is, that blessings will sort of just automatically come. And then when those blessings don't come, they're disappointed, or they think maybe something's not right with Christianity or my faith. But what you understand here in this verse is the more that Jesus is describing is more about the kingdom of God. More about the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom that originated in heaven and that Jesus has come to bring and proclaim. And by coming to know God's grace and listening carefully, a greater understanding of God's grace will come to you. More spiritual blessings will come to your life. More confidence in your life that your sins have been paid for, that you belong to him and have been made right with God, that you will live each day in confidence, safe in the arms of your Savior and without fear. More of those blessings will come your way. As life becomes more difficult and challenging, yet your faith becomes stronger because more spiritual blessings will be known and given. But at the end of that verse, Jesus reminds us that that's not for all. And from the one who has not, that means he doesn't have knowledge of the gospel in Christ, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. What is Jesus saying here? He is again expanding on the parable of the sower. We mentioned in the parable of the sower the four different soils. The four different soils that the seed, the gospel, falls upon. And we pointed out last time that there are four different soils, but in the hearts of people, there are only two different responses. The one response is a response of faith. The other three is no faith at all. And we saw that as Jesus expands in the first part of this verse upon the heart by which the seed has come into the soil, and it grows and it expands and it becomes stronger. But we also are reminded at the end of this verse of the seed that falls on the path. The gospel seed that falls into the soil along the path, and the devil comes, Jesus told us, and he takes it away and it never sinks in. We're told of the seed that falls on the rocks, and they hear the word and it springs up for a time, and it looks like they come to believe and understand the gospel and salvation, but there's no stabilizing force for it in their lives. And soon the plants wither and die, for it has no root. And then there's the seed, the gospel seed, that falls among the thorns, and the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life are more important than them, and their hearts do not mature in the gospel. Again, three responses, which are three responses that are not of faith. And that's why Jesus concludes in this second parable, take care how you hear. Because while all those hearts were hearing, some who even thought they had and sprung up, they were all eventually taken away. The problem wasn't the seed, because it came to them from Christ. The problem was the soil. The soil, which is their heart. Well, then, who will be part of this kingdom? And what will the family of God look like? As we've worked our way down from the first hearing in the parable of the sower, verse 8, to the second hearing, verse 18, take care then how you hear. Jesus concludes it with one more exhortation, verse 21, with how people should hear. In the Old Testament, you remember that so much of the Old Testament kingdom was about family. It was about what Israeli tribe you were born in. It was about your genetic connections in terms of that tribe and family line. It was about your being a circumcised Jew and a member of the people of Israel. But now, as Jesus goes one step further in these last verses, to describe the new age and the new kingdom he's come to bring, notice how he describes it in verse 19. His mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the large crowd that Jesus was teaching. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, saying, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. They're ready to say to Jesus in verse 20, you should drop everything. Your earthly family, your natural family is looking for you and needs to speak to you and needs to talk to you. And Jesus in the next verse describes his true family, the family by which he will spend eternity. Not an earthly family, an eternal family. And how does he describe them? My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. You see, Jesus is teaching his disciples and reminding us of the importance of the family of God. Their previous focus on genetic lines has now come to its end and fullness and fulfillment. Sometimes today we hear so much about people who speak about the importance of their earthly family. And sometimes they make their earthly family the priority of their lives over their spiritual life. So that when it comes to things like spending time with earthly family, it takes priority in their lives over worship and their church family. And it's true that Jesus teaches us, and the rest of Scripture teaches us, of the importance to care for our earthly family. One of the Ten Commandments is to honor your father and your mother. We're told as husbands in Ephesians 5 to love your wives as Christ loves the church. We're told to take care of the elderly, especially parents when they're older, and widows when they've lost their husband or family. But we also have to remember that the earthly family God has given us is only temporary. What Christ is describing in these verses is a kingdom of God family, brothers and sisters in Christ that you will spend eternity with. They are the priority of his speaking and his preaching. And who are they? Verse 21, they are those who hear the word of God and do it. They don't just hear, but they hear the word and act upon it. They are those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. There is no hiddenness of the kingdom in their heart. They understand it. They embrace it. They believe in it. They want to be a part of it and serve God in it. And Jesus teaches in this verse that the kingdom of God is given to them. Like a lamp on the stand, the gospel proclamation is clear. The invitation for people to come and to see the light shining in a dark room is for all to see and to enter in and to become a part of it, to believe in that gospel message of salvation. What keeps people away is not the message that is the seed, but it is the soil of the heart that gospel seed falls on. Jesus is calling us today to come to the light, to embrace the gospel and the good news, to hear the word of God and do it, and be part of fellow brothers and sisters who belong to the family of God. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for this parable, which reminds us about the gospel, which reminds us of the proclamation of the gospel and the bright light shining in this dark and sinful. We rejoice in our Savior who has come and has accomplished the salvation through his death and resurrection on the cross. We rejoice, Lord, in the work of the apostles and the ministers and preachers throughout church history that have faithfully proclaimed this gospel truth all the way to our day, even here today. We pray, Lord, the gospel would continue to go forth, that a bright light of salvation would shine in a dark and sinful world. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be at work in our hearts, softening our hearts to be the soil by which that seed will grow and become strong. Father, we pray that your Spirit would enable us to embrace that gospel message more and more, that we may know the spiritual blessings even more that have come to us. And yet, Lord, as we pray today, we recognize so many that we know in our lives, whether they be family members, whether they be fellow co-workers, whether they be, Lord, people that we associate with during the week, people who do not know you, Lord, people who don't understand the gospel or the light of salvation. Lord, we know that our Savior is coming soon, and we pray, Lord, that you would work in us, that we may be able to speak to those who do not know you about this wonderful gospel salvation, that they too may see the light of salvation, that they may see hope in a dark and sinful world, that they too may become part of the family of God, hear the word of God, and do it in this world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.